Systemic teaching about Christian life. Subject of this audio: The Gospel of Peace. Chapter 10. The Bond of Peace. One of the themes that are widely addressed among people who claim to be followers of the Christian faith is the theme of unity with other Christians. This unity, however, is not something that can be achieved only by the will of Christians, for it also needs to be established and practiced through aspects that effectively provide a foundation or adequate support so that it can be consistent and lasting. When the scriptures refer to the importance of keeping unity among those who have the same faith in God, they do not only instruct Christians to practice this unity, but they also teach them on how it should be accomplished and that peace is an essential aspect for it to occur, as exemplified in the following text. Ephesians 4:1-6. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Christian unity, firstly, is not a horizontal unity, but it is primarily a unity between each Christian with the Spirit of the Lord so that from the life of each Christian in the Spirit there may also be unity among Christians. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord is one Spirit with him. The text of Ephesians just presented above, however, also gives particular emphasis to Christians being aware that the unity between them in the Spirit is also a unity that has a firm and consistent connection so that it may not be interrupted easily or at any time, which, in turn, is the bond of peace. If God has offered us the gift of righteousness to reconcile ourselves with Him to walk in peace with Him and in His presence, obviously the Lord also expects those who believe in Him similarly to walk in peace with each other, for without a bond of peace, without a peaceful association between Christians, unity among them is not according to the will of God and is neither according to life in the Spirit of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is also the Spirit of peace. However, to make this evident to Christians, the Lord still adds the emphasis that the unity that is instructed from heaven for Christians is a unity of peace, and not competitions, conflicts, disputes, and strife. The attempts of unity around competitions, strife, and disputes do not come from the Spirit of the Lord and are not according to the wisdom of God, as the text below objectively exposes. James 3:13-16. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. God does not offer people liberation from their afflictions and anguishes, resulting from the disputes that continually surround them in the world, with the intention of offering them peace to return to the practice of relationship under disputes or conflicts with their fellow men. 1 Corinthians 14:33a. For God is not the author of confusion but of peace. The unity among Christians that God longs for them to achieve is not a mere unity around some similar goals or rules that they, by themselves, propose to reach, but it is a unity towards right purposes, motivations, and guidance that come from the Spirit of the Lord, that are supported by the Lord, and that are under the very righteousness and peace of the Lord. If the bond of peace were basically around a predefined set of supposed rules of unity that a Christian should seek to achieve regarding one's brothers of the same faith in God, this proposition would not be based on a bond strong enough to support a real peace among them. A set of external rules established for a supposed unity to be maintained among a group of Christians separates them more than unites. And as the rules are not observed by the parties involved, something more severe that begins to occur is that they still erect an increasing separation wall precisely among those who created the rules with the idea of achieving supposed peace among them. Something that all Christians should be very vigilant about: the proposals that are offered to them under the pretext of being Christian is the repetitive tendency that human beings, including many Christians, present to relapse in the direction of thinking that they themselves can carry out the actions and works that God instructs in the Scriptures to be done. Frequently, many individuals or even group of people return to the attitude of trying to do good works by their own efforts and devoid of accomplishing them together with the Lord, forgetting so, repeatedly, what the Lord told them explicitly, for instance, in the following text. John 15, 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Therefore, the condition for an individual to adopt appropriate attitudes towards unity with other Christians or to practice truly peaceful actions and works is also the result of one's abiding in Christ and Christ in one's heart, because apart from the fellowship with Christ, no Christian can produce by oneself real peaceful fruits that are recognized by the Lord. As much as a Christian declares that his or her works are peaceful, they will only be of peace and for the sake of unity with other Christians if they are done through his or her attitude of living and walking in the Lord. When a Christian acts subject to the flesh, one does not act in the Spirit and, therefore, does not cooperate for a consistent bond of peace. Just as we saw in the subject on the Gospel of Christ that several times the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ thought that they could have the benefits of the Christian life without having fellowship with the very Lord of the benefits, so too many Christians today repeatedly fall in the thought that they may have peace in their hearts and with other Christians even if they are dissociated from fellowship with the Lord of peace. When Christ says that it is He who gives peace to His disciples, He gives them peace first by giving Himself to them. It is through the presence of Christ in the hearts of His disciples and the abiding of His disciples in the Lord that they can have the peace of God so that they can also live and walk in this peace regarding others who live and walk by faith in Christ Jesus, an aspect that we find firmly presented also in the following text. Ephesians 2, 11-14. Therefore remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Christ is the way so that the peace of God could be offered to human beings. The Lord Jesus is the most palpable means of announcing this peace, for He Himself evangelized or preached peace to us. Christ is the way that enables the establishment of real peace in us. And Christ is also, and forever will be, the foundation and support of God's peace in us, for He Himself is real peace, He is our peace. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ is the essence of the gospel of God, the gospel of himself, the gospel of the kingdom, and the gospel of the righteousness of God, so Christ is also the essence of the gospel of true peace offered by the Lord to the hearts of all people. Christ is the Lord of peace, and it is when a person allows the Lord to reign in one's heart that this peace also reigns in one's life. Christ is the Son of the God of peace given to us as our peace, but Christ is also given to us as the Prince of Peace to ensure that God's peace can be firmly established in us. Isaiah 9, 6-7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. In the last text above, the figurative name Throne of David refers to the throne of government that the Heavenly Father has established in Christ Jesus, the throne that reigns over the entire universe, but that also offers a government of peace to every heart that longs to live and walk under the will of God. Hebrews 13, 20-21. Now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. While many people claim to offer peace through alleged humility and worship to messengers, considering that the word angel also means a messenger, based on inflated and inconsistent visions arising from their flesh, vanities, and life under the rule of the flesh, in order to dissociate people from Christ as their head, the scriptures affirm us, several times, that the bond of unity and peace can only be achieved through Christ Jesus. Colossians 2, 18-19. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. In conclusion, we would like to reiterate here once again that it is in the acceptance of the Lordship of Christ also as one's peace that an individual qualifies to be instructed according to the peace of the heavenly kingdom in all the decisions that one faces. And yet, when someone acts according to what the peace that is in Christ instructs him or her to do, one can also begin to realize the benefits that may result for him or her and others from being guided by the Prince of Peace. Colossians 3, 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Through the gospel of peace, the Lord not only announces the greatness of his peace, but he also makes the peace that he has in himself available to all who open their hearts to receive it. And when the Lord reigns in the heart of a person, this peace continues to be multiplied in the most diverse moments and circumstances of the life of the one who received it. Christ is the way to peace with God and to the peace of God. And the peace of Christ is the way of meekness, which, in turn, is the way to an abundance of personal peace as well as to those who walk under the same peace of the Lord. Psalms 37, 7-11. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger, and forsake wrath, do not fret, it only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while and the wicked shall be no more, indeed, you will look carefully for his place, but it shall be no more. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philemon 1, 3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 15, 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Final greetings. Psalms 146, 10. The Lord shall reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. Revelation 14, 7. Worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and springs of water. The texts narrated in this audio are posted at www.zoominchristianlife.org. Greetings of peace, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ.